Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and happy Thursday. As we look at the markets, unfortunately, not a lot of happiness when you looked at the grain complex, except for the wheat for the most part. Livestock side on the other side, cattle were definitely on fire in it. Mixed trade on these lean hogs as they try to get their footing back underneath them. Joining us today is going to be Mike Zuzulo. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics, and we're going to take a different look. We're going to do some exploration to start out today's program about the difference with the fuel and the feed and how it all relates to the commodity markets. So, Mike, kind of give me your thoughts and takeaways about how these two are so intertwined, but how they affect on a daily basis.
Yeah, and you know, what I did today to talk to you about Susan was kind of thinking about some of the conversations I had with clients on the phone, specifically a couple in Illinois and a couple in Nebraska that both had old crop corn in the bin. And I've been wanting to see the second half of April show a wheat-led rally to the upside for the corn and beans because of the tighter supplies that we have. And even though we're planting right now, I feel like between the geopolitics and the tight world wheat supplies, we have a chance, and I think a historical chance, to turn the market back higher, kind of like what we did in 2009. And so that's kind of my model year for the upside. My model year for the downside when it comes to the hard red wheat specifically is 2015. And I think both those years kind of have some similar fundamentals to them. But what we saw this week and why we're not going higher in the corn and beans, I feel at least, is because we're seeing a price action shift. The dollar has gone in a true direction higher. The food, meaning the wheat market, has gone in a direction lower than the crude oil market, the fuel market. So the food and fuel commodities, the crude and the wheat, which really are my leaders all the time, but especially right here, right now. And again, going back to the weather scenarios with the hard red wheat belt, the temperature extremes we've seen, the dryness we're seeing, the U.S. dollar is back above last week's highs now, and the crude oil has hit fresh three-month lows today. And I think this really gave the corn and beans no chance to rally, especially in light of the weekly export sales. And I think this goes back to what we've been fighting for the better part of a year, year and a half, and it goes to the trade issues between the United States and China. And I think the funds are looking at the demand side of the equation, and they see China, and if they see increased frictions, and this week we had the increased frictions with the potential steel tariffs to be put on the Chinese steel and tripling them, in fact, from their current levels. I think that really did a lot of damage to the psychology of the trade. And as I said to the clients on the phone, took a lot of the other fundamentals out there, like South American crop problems, like a very hot, dry pattern that we're establishing in the Western Corn Belt more, and certainly in the hard red wheat belt more. Several fundamentals out there would suggest we should be going higher, not lower at this point. So I think that's really where I sit as we're at the halfway point of the month of April.
So let's talk about South America then, because I think there's still a lot of unknowns out there as to where they're at. Brazil's wrapping up their harvest. Argentina's getting ready to start theirs. We know that there's been a lot of weather and other factors that have been weighing in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think this is kind of nice to dovetail the South American situation in with what we're talking about already, because one of the things that the U.S. dollar going higher did, it also brought the Brazilian real currency back to its 13-month low against the U.S. dollar this week. And it's, you know, trading back in that really low range as we go on the air here on Thursday afternoon. And so between the crude oil going down and that hitting the soybean oil, and then the currencies hitting the soy complex proper through the Brazilian currency, it's a double whammy effect. And so South America is still very much at play and very important here. One of my good colleagues in South America just gave me an update, and he confirmed and helped support some of my analysis that we do have corn problems. You know, the Rosario Argentine Corn Exchange, the Rosario Exchange for Corn, I should say, took their corn expectation down to 50.5 million tons this week versus 57 million tons prior. The USDA Ag Attaché just came out and did a similar move, went from 57 million down to 51 million. And this is compared to the WASD report last week of 55 million for the corn. So both Brazil and Argentina corn production looks hurt. It looks damaged. And the soybeans, we're not so sure. In fact, my South American colleague said that he, in quotes, many local brokers in Brazil are now recommending early sales to Brazilian farmers due to an estimation of lower prices in early 2025. And they're saying it's a hurry to hedge type mindset down there. And this kind of fits well with the idea that USDA sees lower exports here for our soybeans, and that's due to price. And so that Paranagua port price is, that Argentina upriver price, really, really important for corn and beans. And that's really going to direct my recommendations.
Well, and talking about beans and exports, it was nice to see the Philippines come in and make a bean purchase this morning.
Yeah, and we had meal in there too. And I think this is another key element of the Argentine market. The best looking chart out there right now from the grain perspective, in my opinion, on a weekly basis, is the soy meal. It's really looking very strong in terms of holding on to recent lows. And I think this goes back to, in part, the soy meal issue that we have, maybe brewing the soybean issue and the inability to Argentina to export much soybean meal, because they are in the top three, just like they are in the corn, when it comes to the meal. So if we're going to look for some support out of the beans, or for the beans, I think meal is a key issue to be looking at. But for me, overall, as we've talked about before many times, if we really want a trend change in the soybeans to the upside, I think the wheat and corn need to drive that bus.
All right, well, stick around, folks. More is coming up as we get ready here for the second half of today's Channel Final Bell. We come back, we'll finish up on the grains, and then find out what was the motivational spark with this cattle complex. It's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRBN.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As our conversation does continue with Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And Mike, we talked a little bit about the exports from a soybean perspective, and no surprise, corn has continued to be on the quiet side. Is this a trend we're going to see into the near future, or could we possibly see other countries than China maybe looking to us?
Yeah, I think the latter, Susan. What I was talking about with the clients that I was talking about in section one or segment one about was, if you have to potentially dump out of some old crop corn for cash flow or basis contracts are coming due, you know, I can't say this specifically as a recommendation for compliance reasons, but I could see a reason that the new crop corn may be a place to be in the hunt for some long positions or some reownership positions, because I do think that as we go through the later part of the spring and early summer, we should see the tightening of the supply-demand balance sheets. And the corn stocks-to-use ratios globally have been treading water the last four or five years, at almost the exact same percentage level. And it wouldn't take much of a decline in ending stocks to really bump that stocks-to-use ratio down to a five-year low. And I think the market should probably take notice of that, especially given the funds and how short they are in this grain market. And that's probably the biggest thing I left out of segment one, is what's the biggest reason why we should see a second half April rally led by the wheat and the crude oil, not just geopolitics, but when are the funds going to say, okay, we've had our fun in the short side of these markets, let's start covering all these short grain in soybean positions.
And finally, let's look at this at the wheat complex quickly, because it's got some adverse weather that's moving in a little bit. Maybe not as cold as it's going to be in the northern tiers, but there's still talk of weather with dryness and cold snaps.
Yes, and I think this is where, between the weather side of the equation and the European markets holding up very nicely, and the fundamentals in Ukraine improving, i.e. their wheat prices coming up in the past 2 to 3 months, I think there's a reason to think that the wheat is trying to carve out a final low, or a pre-harvest low, I guess I should say. And so that 520 area in soft red wheat, that 560 area in hard red wheat, those two support levels are exceptionally important for me to hold on a monthly closing basis this month, because if we take those out, it really breaks apart the analysis. And technically speaking, on the monthly charts, it really opens you up to the downside, in my opinion. And I think wheat and corn would probably pull the beans down pretty substantially then.
All right, switching gears, head over to the livestock. What do you see as that fuel behind this cattle market? We had a nice high on Monday and Tuesday, and then a dip yesterday.
Yeah, and we settled softer today. And I think that if you add all those 3 days together and then include Monday's, you know, bump just from a short covering mindset coming off of the first of the week versus the end of last week, I think you can see a pretty close correlation that the feeders and the corn market have a lot of sensitivity to one another. And I think you can see that the fat cattle and the stock market has a lot of sensitivity. And it's interesting because I keep track of the relationship between different assets. And right now, the S&P 500 futures, which is an equity index like the Dow Jones, it and live cattle are running at about a plus 80% relationship or correlation in price between between each other on an 18-week basis. And so I think you could see to this week pretty closely that when the stock market tried to bounce again today, we saw the cattle market really rev up. But then when we started to go lower and make new three-month lows in the S&P 500 late in the day, I think the cattle wanted to give up and see some profit-taking and longs jump out. So I'd be watching that very closely. I'd also be watching these dollar headwinds that we've been talking about. USDA just came out with some export-import figures in their livestock dairy poultry report. February beef exports were down 3%. Versus February of last year at 244 million pounds, imports up 24%. That was a record for the month of February at 351 million pounds. So some of the stuff you and I have been talking about a higher dollar hurting our export business and bringing more imports in, that seems to be gaining traction. And so we got to really watch that this year compared to last.
And that drop in the pork exports, I think, may caught many by surprise.
Yeah, and this is where if it continues, it could backwash those potential foreign demand back into our domestic supply and back in the meat cases and restaurants here and really compete very effectively with the beef side of the equation. So next stop, though, tomorrow is cattle on feed. That may give us a good indication of what our real demand is domestically, because we've got a very low marketings number, below 90% on average for the month of March. And that was surprising to me, because we've got the cattle out there that if we've got the business, we should have some good marketings.
All right. What's the best way for folks to reach you, Mike?
GlobalComResearch.com, and it's GlobalCom with two M's, research.com, and get a trial and take a look at our product services brochure.
All right, sounds good. Of course, just a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is today's Channel Final Bell. It is brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional. And you got to hear in the background Mike's assistant saying it's time to wrap up the markets. Have a great rest of your afternoon. It's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.